You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen, as we kick off hour number two. So great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here at Nightlight, Conrad riding shotgun. If you were the lead actor or actress in a romantic comedy, who would you want to play your co-star? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. We've had some outstanding answers so far. Matt Miller coming up a little later here in hour two. Right now, this is really fun for me. I've got the legendary actor Mike Starr here. He's been in over 300 films, TV credits too. He's done theater. He's an absolute treasure, and you've seen him in so many movies that you've probably forgotten about because he's in so many of them. The Bodyguard, Miller's Crossing, Dumb and Dumber, and Mike, I'll ask you about this one. Kill the Irishman.
Okay, can I first apologize? I know I did a lot of Chicago things. I do love Milwaukee and Wisconsin. I've had great experiences there, including being out for weddings and so many great times. And stayed out in Milwaukee and made special trips, not only with my wife, but also with friends out there, and was lucky to work. And I even have these friends that have a film show on the radio in Kenosha. And so I try to, I'm not competitors. It's all, we're all in this together.
That's right.
But was lucky enough to go to Lambeau Field.
Like
that, and spend great times in Wisconsin.
Listen, so it's a great, I've lived in Chicago, LA, and Wisconsin. I loved them all, but Wisconsin, where I live now in Northeast Wisconsin, is the easiest place to live you will ever. It's like heaven. The people are nice. It's just easy to get around. Yes. There's enough culture. It's fantastic. So, but thank you for the nice words. I was about to ask you about Kill the Irishman, this movie that you were in that not a lot of people saw. I just watched it like 3 years ago. Was that a good experience?
It was tremendous. It was about Danny Green.
Yeah.
And
Cleveland gangster, right?
Irish. It was a longshoreman and originally from Ireland. It's a really interesting story. The book was written by who's now a police commissioner, I think, in the suburbs of Ohio. At least he was at the time when he gave me the book, and he had been a patrolman, I think, way back then. There were, I think, 35 bombings in 1973 between these wars they were having. And, you know, you look at the cast we had, and of course, Ray Stevens, we lost, who was originally, I think, from Northern Ireland and England. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor, and we lost him at a young age. And he had played the lead, and he was just spot on, perfect.
Great.
Just great to be around. And there's, you know, you see all the other characters in our man Vince D'Onofrio, and
great cast, yeah.
Chris Walken, and you see, yeah. So, and Steve Shrum. Geez, I'm just thinking of all the people that were on it, and some who are not with us anymore, Tony and.
Ray Stevens was great. You are like, let's talk about that, Mike. You and I want to get to Dumb and Dumber and Miller's Crossing and maybe even The Bodyguard. We'll see how we do here. But like you've been described, everybody I've talked to about you, or if I said Mike Starr's coming on the show, whatever, has said he is such a nice guy. He is one of the nicest guys you will meet in the entertainment business. For you, and you've worked with tons of people, who do you say that about?
Oh, Lord. Now you're going to get me in trouble if I start.
Give me two people.
So, okay, Gene Wilder. I'll pick people that aren't alive. So, I mean, how much? I'm thinking of so many. I mean, you know, I mentioned how nice Robert De Niro was to me, Dustin Hoffman, but John Lithgow.
Oh, yeah.
He got me work too.
That always helps.
Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
Gotten me work a few times. And so many people. I was lucky enough to work with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick on Broadway and a few other nice people.
Wow.
And, geez, now I get nervous that I'm not going to say it's that cliche of who am I leaving out. But Gene Wilder was one of the most special people. You can't imagine. You couldn't wait to get to the set. We did these A&E mysteries he wrote, Agatha Christie style. We did a couple of those and special TV movies.
He's in Milwaukee. He was born in Milwaukee.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Oh, good. I finally
great
said
choice.
Oh, the stories he would tell. I'd ask about young Frankenstein. Hey, John Candy was a
drink
to be around. You
That's
know?
Right. You were an Uncle Buck. That's
Uncle
right.
Uncle Buck, the drunken clown, right? Please help.
What are your, like, you play a great tough guy, Mike. I've seen you play cops. Where does comedy rank? Like when you get to play comedy, is that like a nice added bonus to your career, or is it tops on your list?
Oh, geez, I don't want to make a cliche. It's all the same to me, but it's funny. They all have their. It's just, you know, Peter Farrelly told me, and I think Jim Carrey was involved in the decision making too. But Peter. Had said something that they wanted someone that had played these, you know, serious mob characters or whatever I was supposed to be. And and it's funny, they, you know, and you see so many wonderful actors who got their start in doing stand-up, but they didn't want like a stand-up comedian. He said, one of them said, something, I don't know, you know, in that. But you see so many fabulous people who started in comedy or that we knew from comedy, and then you find out, how wonderful they can be. But it's funny, some of only once or twice it would bite you. Someone would say something like, but isn't he a comedian? How are they going to take him seriously as this character or the mob guy?
Interesting.
So, because if you did something that was popular, like Dumb and Dumber, not because of me, but it has such a following. It's outrageous internationally. I mean, people still talk of all ages. And that's so much fun. I mean, I don't like, I don't know what to say, because I love period pieces, and I don't know how to say it. I mean, there's some things that aren't comedies, and you get to be kind of a funny guy. Like in The Natural, I was kind of, you know, I improvised a few funny lines here and there, you know, thanks to Barry Levinson. And I don't know how to answer that. I mean,
I think you just did.
It's so great to make people laugh. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I knew, you're rolling Dumb and Dumber. I knew every line at one point. Even when you come out of the restroom and you're like, feeling better, girls? Like, just everything you say to those guys is so funny. And it's such a scene.
It's written by them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's performed well, too. And I feel like, you know, comedians should just act. Whether you're a comedian or whatever, the script is there.
Yeah.
That's the material. Just play it straight. And if it's funny, it's funny. But was that...
Yeah, whatever way you get there, as people say to me, you work at it. But
yeah,
it's a lot of the humor comes out of reality. I mean, you think of little things like in Goodfellas when Joe Pesci, after this terrible killing, he says, make that coffee to go, you know.
Right.
And they would line in The Godfather. You know, a lot of times humor comes out of that. And then there's different styles, of course, of comedy. And being on Dumb and Dumber was just the toughest part, was to keep a straight face when I'm either supposed to be angry or dying or whatever. And these surprises come from Jim and Jeff, you know. And the Farrelly brothers tell me things about my guy Fred Stoller when I first met him with the phone booth.
Oh,
and
he's great.
And he's just really hysterical, and he's a wonderful writer. He wrote, I believe he, I know that he was on Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond, but he also wrote on Seinfeld too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Fred did a lot of stuff.
Great comic. And
he's
and
been in touch with me.
And a great part. I mean, I forgot about the phone booth scene in Dumb and Dumber. That's classic. What was it like? Like, we talked about Miller's Crossing a little bit in our text exchange the other day, and you sounded excited to talk about that. What was it like working with the Coen brothers and Gabriel Byrne and Albert Finney and this great cast?
Oh, man. Too long a story on that
one.
If I could ask. I mean, Albert Finney,
The Danny Boy scene.
John's probably listening, and oh, just but so many other things. Just the conversations again. Offset. Well, I was drinking that. Wait a second. But the stories and the things they share, and these people that you looked up to, and my partner in it, Al Mancini, God rest his soul. He was in Albert, but Gabe. Oh, there was so many like laughs and things. Gabe was filming off the set, and
oh wow,
there was just so much. And John Turturro, I've worked and known for years, so we got to do that scene together and work together. And there's a lot of things I could tell you. And then having to all of a sudden come up with a song, and then what happened was they changed it. And another time I can tell you how I learned it going through customs.
But that really is you singing?
Yeah.
That's
what
so
happened
great.
Was why it doesn't look like it. I mean, people don't think, oh, yeah, not a singer, whatever. But I'm no genius. But what happened was that I did one that had this pace, dun, da, 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 something I had learned in Northern Italy. And then they changed the song. I had about 5 days to a week, and I was going up doing this film about the Boston busing, and Honor Bound or something was, I was going up to Toronto, and I had to learn it. And even I asked neighbors, and they said the dialect was so strange to them. But so you don't see it on my mouth much, because you go from back to that, to that, to that, and then the song in the film is da 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 da, and it was about Pavarotti's town. Ghirlandella is the song, if I'm pronouncing it right, and it's da 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 da. You know, it's like so. It's very hard to match the mouth, so
yeah.
They had to do sideways and things, and they actually. Was it Joel? Ethan, I think, apologized to me. He said, we should have put you in the credits because people thought it was someone else, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
I got to be pretty obnoxious about it over the years. Mick Flanagan, a great line producer, said, if you ask Mike about Miller's Crossing, it's one of my favorite movies, but he'll immediately go, that was me singing, you know.
Oh, Mike Starr is here, ladies and gentlemen. He has been in such movies as The Bodyguard, Kill the Irishman, Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas. We'll have a couple more minutes with Mike after a very short break. And then Matt Miller comes up to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. You got Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Tonight, Light, I am Pete Schwabe. And Matt Miller comes up in just a few minutes. We'll talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. We have a couple more minutes here with our guest, Mike Starr, an actor with so many credits. You know his work from The Godfather. I'm sorry.
No, not Godfather.
The Bodyguard. The Bodyguard is I meant to say. Bodyguard, Goodfellas, Miller's Crossing, so many great credits. Mike.
Can I just tell you that Miller's Crossing, that was an example of where there was some comic things we did,
yeah.
You know, but not complete, but things like when he hits me in the face with the chair and how we set it up. And the Coen Bros were just so great to be around. They're just like, and I did a lot of off-camera humor with them too.
That's great. I'm not surprised by that because you seem like a real jovial guy who likes to laugh. It did surprise me a little bit, maybe just because of his character, but that Gabriel Byrne was someone who liked to crack up and be funny. So, yeah.
He had a very dry sense of humor. I mean, I even called him Hammett, but he was great. He was He's very funny. He's really
That's so cool. Well, you'll have to come back because I'd love to do a deep dive on some of these things and you know, talk to you more about your process and all that kind of stuff. But before we let you go, can you give me, you know, you've got like almost 300 movie credits, TV credits. If someone said, Mike, what three films of yours should I watch? What would your answer be?
Oh, Lord. I find it hard to...
You don't like to leave anybody out, I could tell.
Yeah, and also, I don't like to call them my films either. I mean, there's different things where you know... I mean, I think Ed Wood is a great experience to see. Yeah. And I had done this comedy with Wolf Friends and The Deli, where I played a degenerate gambler, lived with his mom. But I mean, the obvious ones are Goodfellas, Bodyguard, you know, Dumb and Dumber. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, The Natural was such a great experience, but I'd love to, geez, if you ever see Path to Paradise, where I actually played an Egyptian, a blue-eyed, redheaded, one of the 93 World Trade Center bombers before that, which was very controversial at the time and known in 9/11, but it was a fascinating study they did. And then, but there's things that, like I said, did with Gene Wilder, and there are things that might not have been as well known. I mean, Black Dahlia was a great experience. Sometimes all the scenes, certain things don't get in the film, whatever.
Yeah.
But of course, and again, Goodfellas was just like one of the highlights, but you know, it's, you don't consider yourself by any means a lead in some of these films, you know what I mean? So that's why it's funny. Films, I guess if you put it that way, films that you've been in, but there's so many that had wonderful experiences. I've been really lucky when you think about it. And just recently doing some things, and there's television shows that were just tremendous experiences, you know, whether they were Law and Order's Crime Story, you know, Ray Donovan, Shameless.
Yeah.
I got to be on Blacklist, and James Spader, it was just something to work with him and to work with Bill on Shameless, even though it's one scene, you know, it was William was William so great.
Mason, yeah.
And Ray Donovan with John Voight and the whole crew on that.
What I love, Mike, too, though, when I was looking at your IMDb page, you've got a ton of projects that aren't even out yet. So you're still working hard. I would love to have you come back soon. And don't hit the gym too much, though, dude, because you look like a welter. You look like a welterweight. You're missing the intimidating. You know.
Trying to get the linebacker weight.
There you go, Mike. Thank you so much for your time tonight. It's great to meet you, and
thank you.
Love to have you back on sometime, buddy.
I really appreciate this. All right. Cass. Our kids, all of them.
Keep up
those
the great
grandchildren.
Work. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mike. Yeah. Have a great night.
Hey, Mikey. All right, kids.
All right, that's Mike Starr, ladies and gentlemen. Check out. Just go to his IMDb page. In fact, you know what? Let's bring our next guest in because I'm sure Matt has seen his share of Mike's films too. Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins us now, also on the stream. Matt, you got to hear part of that interview with the great Mike Starr. Talk about an actor. Like, we've got another actor in Wisconsin, Richard Reilly, with over 300 credits. Mike has, like, he's got to be pushing 300 credits just with films. And that's not even talking about the TV he did. I mean, what a great career.
Yeah, I think I actually pulled up his IMDb while you were doing that interview, and I think the number is like 249 on IMDb,
jeez,
which is wild. And I mean, to have a year in which you are in Goodfellas and Miller's Crossing same year, that's a pretty good way to live.
Absolutely.
Like, that alone would be a Hall of Fame year. And then, you know, there's the rest of his career to go with it. So that's kind of the dream career, you know, just like being memorable in movies. Great movies. Like,
yeah.
what a great career to have.
Absolutely. And I think Miller's Crossing to me is, you know, I do these classic movie picks, and it's funny. I've got two Mike Starr movies. Last week I did Miller's Crossing. Jim Carrey's name came up, so I did Dumb and Dumber this week. But Miller's Crossing is a very underrated, not underrated, because I think people think it's great, but that film executed brilliantly, writing, directing,
absolutely,
acting, the look, the aesthetics, so great.
I mean, he's arguably in three modern great directors' best movies.
Right.
He's in Miller's Crossing by the Coen brothers, which I think is probably top three Coen brothers. He's in Goodfellas, same, which I would say is like a top three Scorsese. And he's in Ed Wood, which I think is probably top three Tim Burton. Like three people who invented like modern cinema and greats of our times. And he was a part of all three of some of their best projects. That's a good way to live.
Absolutely. All right. So Matt Miller is here, folks, Milwaukee film critic. You can follow him at A Man About Film. He has a Substack there, does great work. We're going to get into some of the Milwaukee Film Festival. Matt, I'm relying on you because I think I mentioned on the air a couple times I was in Madison a couple weeks ago hosting Q&As, doing all that kind of stuff. I'm not as up on Milwaukee, which is a phenomenal film festival. So I want to get into that with you, and anything else you want to talk about, we'll do movies and TV. Thanks for sticking with us. We had some technical issues earlier, but it's great to have you here. And we will be back after the news. Matt Miller will keep you up to date, folks, on what you can expect at the Milwaukee Film Festival. And I can't wait to talk to Matt about Warfare either. We'll talk about that. That's all coming up after the news with Matt Miller. This is Pete Schwava and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwava. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night as we broadcast over our beautiful state of Wisconsin, and we talk about the things in life that makes us that make us happy: movies, TV, music, comedy. And Matt Miller. Matt Miller makes me happy, and he is here, the Milwaukee film critic. Matt, it's great to talk to you, and he's going to tell us what we can see at the Milwaukee Film Festival, what we might want to see or circle out. And then we'll get into some movie talk. Matt, it's great to have you here, and good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, great time for a movie buff in Milwaukee and Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, so what is your, you know, rather than start with movies we want to see, give people a little background, if you could, just a thumbnail of the Milwaukee Film Festival. I know they've tried to raise their profile in recent years. They've got great venues. They're real movie buffs there, but tell us what you know.
Yeah, so if I recall, I'm trying to remember the timeline on this, but the Milwaukee Film Festival in its current form has been around for about 15, 20 years, I believe. This year, they are kind of compacted down. They normally used to be a part of the Avalon and the Times. They used to be all across those theaters. This year, they're very centered in the Milwaukee East Side area. All their screenings are going to be taking place at the Oriental and Downer Theater, which are their two historic cinemas. They're gorgeous spaces, really great places to take in movies. Highly recommend checking it out. And yeah, they've got over 200 movies this year across all sorts of spectrums. If you like indie dramas, if you like documentaries, if you like movies for kids, if you like insane late night horror movies, you know, they have pretty much, I always tell people about the Milwaukee Film Festival, if they don't have something that interests you, you just aren't interested in things. Like, right. You're just not an interesting person. So, I mean, you'll find something at the Milwaukee Film Festival for you to watch. And I'm going to try to, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about a bunch of their selections during the segment, but I really highly recommend people checking out their website and going through the program book. And like I said, I think you'll find at least something that piques your interest.
It's so great, too, to watch movies with other movie buffs. Like, sometimes when you go to the theater or a megaplex, you don't know what to expect, and you don't know who you're watching movies with. Sometimes they talk or they crunch food the whole time. Like when you see film festival movies, especially at a festival like Milwaukee, you're there with people who engross themselves in the movie. And that like, you feel part of something. You know, it's great.
Yeah, it's a crowd of people who are excited to submit themselves to a movie. And in a lot of cases, submit themselves to a movie, like you said, that they don't know much about, you know. You really, obviously you can do a ton of research into these things, watch trailers, read reviews and all of that, but it's kind of fun to go into a movie sometimes and be like, I know one sentence about this thing. I know a sentence and a still. Show me what you've got. Those have always been kind of the most exciting Milwaukee Film Festival experiences, is walking into something being like, oh, I don't know. This is my fourth movie of the day. I don't know if I really want to. And then you walk out and you're like, oh, that was the best thing I saw this entire festival. That's always a really fun experience.
I did that at the Wisconsin Film Festival a couple of weeks ago. I saw a new film called The Threesome. And it's the best romantic comedy I've ever seen. And it's Zoe Deutsch, who's kind of, you know, on the path to fame, or she's already there, I guess. And Ruby Cruz, a great cast, great direction. I cannot wait to see it again or see what happens with it, if it goes right to streaming or theaters. But those are the kind of movies you can kind of be pleasantly surprised by. What stands out at this year's Milwaukee Film Festival? Are there any big films you think people are going to flock to?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is going to be The Shrouds. That is the new David Cronenberg movie.
Oh, okay.
For those who don't know, David Cronenberg, The Fly, Scanners, Crimes of the Future. He's a big body horror guy. And this one is still kind of in that realm. It's about a man who's mourning his wife and is trying to communicate with her via these kind of weird technological methods. But also David Cronenberg, I believe his partner passed in recent years, and this is kind of a very personal movie for him. Mm. I remember it got a kind of lukewarm response when it premiered at some of the big overseas festivals. I think it premiered at Cannes. But honestly, that makes me more excited about it, because when a movie like this premieres at a festival and people are kind of like, oh, I don't know, it didn't knock me on my butt, that tells me that, oh, it's maybe not like an Oscar movie. You know, or maybe they watched it and they weren't like, oh, this is like a $100 million grossing movie. This tells me that this is something interesting. It's kind of like how whenever the Coen brothers release a new movie nowadays, the first reaction is always like, oh, I don't know. It's light and it's frivolous. It's not that good. And then everyone sees it and they're like, oh, it's tremendous. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Sometimes the film festival crowd is a little cynical and a little kind of, you know, where's the money about it? And I just really want to see a really, really interesting David Cronenberg movie, a really personal one, because there's only one David Cronenberg. There's a lot of pretenders out there. There's a lot of people who are inspired by him, but only David Cronenberg can make David Cronenberg movies. So I'm really excited for The Shrouds. I think that's going to be a big one. I'm also excited to check out a documentary called Secret Mall Apartment, which is about exactly what it sounds like, which is about 20 years ago.
That sounded really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 20 years ago, a bunch of friends built like a secret apartment inside of a mall and lived in it. And it's kind of about their kind of, you know, interesting dynamic and how like the mall world and how culture changed. I'm really excited to check that one out if that sounds interesting as well. There's also a documentary that goes to all across the country and finds former Pizza Hut locations. And if you're one of those people who remembers like the old 90s Pizza Hut places, they were so architecturally particular. You always can tell, recognize when something used to be a Pizza Hut.
Like an IHOP too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, these places are like the old McDonald's with the double arches and stuff like that. And it goes to these former Pizza Huts and finds what is in them now and kind of details what American life is like now via Pizza Huts, which is, I think, a really fun premise for a documentary. And the person who did it also did a documentary at the film festival a few years ago called We Don't Deserve Dogs, which was a really good documentary that took a similar approach, but it was how different cultures and different people across the globe, you know, how dogs fit into their lives and the meaning that dogs have. And I thought that was a very powerful, really well done documentary. So I'm excited to see what that director does with Pizza Huts.
I'm excited to see the mall one, like just to see how they did that and how they did.
Right?
Did they get discovered or was it like a covert thing? I would imagine it was.
We'll have to find out. Yeah. I'm excited to find out more about that one. And so that one's very exciting. And then you have their centerpiece movies. They've got two documentaries and a rom-com as their kind of opening, closing, and centerpiece movies. The opening movie is Sally, about Sally Ride, the astronaut, and kind of the truly back when a woman going into space actually meant something and was actually historic and actually a feat for feminism. Right. And it kind of tells Sally Ride's story, both on the shuttle and off the shuttle, because she also has a fascinating life beyond, you know, what she did with NASA. The centerpiece movie is a documentary about librarians and about them fighting back against book banning and, you know, kind of freedom of speech and all these kind of moves we're seeing in our political scene right now. Yeah. So that's going to be a very good documentary as well. Very obviously very prescient, very of the moment documentary. And then the closing night movie is a rom-com called Jane Austen Wrecked My Life.
Oh, great.
About a woman who's a big Jane Austen fan, and she kind of finds herself in a Jane Austen-esque romantic love triangle situation. I think that's a kind of very charming, light, fun way to kind of, you know, end 15 days of cinema, I think. So again, you can see in those three movies right there a very wide swath of, you yeah. know, really interesting stuff. And, you know, if you're a midnight movie person, if you really enjoyed The Substance, which I know we talked a lot about this past year, yeah. it was kind of the indie horror hit of 2024, you might want to check out The Ugly Stepsister, which is in a similar vein, I would say, kind of the 18th century version of it, where it's a woman trying to, you know, win her way into high society and be respected by the world, starts resorting to kind of body horror transformations. Oh, wow. Very buzzy on the indie horror market. So if you're looking for a late night, you know, excitement, I think The Ugly Stepsister could be really fun as well. If you don't mind your movies being a little graphic and gory and
right.
a little cringe inducing in the best way possible.
There's a movie from a local filmmaker, All That Glitters. I think he's a first time director, Noah. Where did I have that? I just had that up. I was just wondering if you knew anything. Noah Meister.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that director or that film all that well, but obviously you do have a lot of Cream City Cinema selections as well during the film festival, which is always great. A lot of really interesting options in that category as well. I know we talked about a dog documentary from a few film festivals ago, but there's one about cats this year called 25 Cats from Qatar. I think I mispronounced that. My apologies. That one is also a Cream City Cinema documentary about the owner of Sip and Purr Cat Cafe trying to bring cats from Doha, the capital of that country, where they're having kind of a feral cat crisis there. Oh, and wow. This owner is trying to bring these cats to America and find them owners and, you know, kind of give these animals a place to live. So lots of really fun stuff. Again, from all over the place, from near, from far, a lot of great movies to check out at the film festival. From new and old as well, they're going to be screening Nosferatu, the original Nosferatu.
Oh, nice.
They're going to have a live orchestra, playing alongside that. And that movie still holds up. If you really liked the remake that came out this past Christmas, you'll definitely want to see the original version during the film festival as well. Lots of really fun. There's never a bad year. Every right. year I get nervous that this is going to be the year where there's just not that much to see. And every year I look at the lineup and I'm like, there's not enough hours in the day. Do I need to eat meals? Am I okay not seeing the sun for 15 days?
That's a good excuse not to do those things, though, I think. But I hear you. Matt Miller is my guest. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic and does great work at his follow him at his Substack. A Man About Film, right? At A Man About Film, I should say.
Man About Film. And yeah. you can like follow, A Man About Down, but Film.
And you can follow him on Blue Sky as well. Okay, so we've covered some Milwaukee Film Festival stuff. I'm going to have several guests, I guess, over the next week or so from the directors from the films, which will be exciting. But that is a great overview of the festival, Matt. Can we pivot to a movie that's in theaters right now called Warfare? I'd love to get your take on that film.
Absolutely. We can absolutely do that.
So, Matt is a very good cat owner, very patient cat owner. And
sorry, I was getting menaced by a cat.
No, it was very funny because the tail just kind of came up and I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh yeah, Matt has a cat. I forgot about that. So,
yeah, I forget I have a cat too sometimes.
So what was your take? I saw Warfare last weekend, didn't know a whole lot about it going in. And I love that. And my son saw it and he said, Dad, you got to see this. It's phenomenal. What a unique, is A24 just the coolest studio in the world now? Are they making really cool stuff that's a little bit different sometimes?
they make the movies that Hollywood stopped making.
Yeah.
You know, they make the adult dramas and the interesting kind of, you know, experimental, unpredictable movies that the rest of Hollywood's major studios kind of gave up on, which is, you know, disappointing. And now, you know, they kind of made their bed and now they're sleep. They have to sleep in it where, you know, only A24 kind of has the brand to get people to show up to cinemas like the for movies like Warfare, which I really enjoy. I really thought Warfare was really well done. It's a very intense experience. I think it's extremely well done in terms of the approach, in terms of really kind of like there's no characters, there's no story,
right.
There's no like mission objectives, really. It is just, you know, a depiction of these guys in the middle of a quagmire that they kind of create.
They're just reacting. Yeah,
I think it's a really well done movie. I know the concept of, you know, war is hell is not exactly a novel concept. You know, no one at Warfare is getting credit for coming up with the idea that, you know, war is bad. But I think right. This is a very really well done version of that. It does what movies like Black Hawk Down and Lone Survivor kind of fail to do, which those movies kind of end up too entertaining. They're too yes. flashy when they're trying to make, you know, movies about, you know, how war is, you know, ugly and bad.
Great
and,
point.
You know, we've made grave mistakes. You know, Black Hawk Down is first and foremost an action movie. You know, Lone Survivor is a movie that I found really fetishized the soldiers dying. To a degree, like whereas Warfare is a movie about like there's nothing good to come of this.
Right.
This is just, you know,
let's pick people up there after we got to do a really short break, Matt. Let's pick up there when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We're hanging out with Matt Miller on the Civic Media Radio Network. To bring some love and get here today.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba. The Milwaukee Film Festival takes place April 24th. I believe that's Monday, I think, right? Does that sound right, Conrad?
Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's April 24th through May 8th. Check out their film festival. It's going to be a great time. We just talked about some of that, some of the offerings this year with Matt Miller, who is our guest right now, Milwaukee film critic. Matt, we were talking about Warfare, and I agree with you. And that was a great way to put it, fetishizes soldiers. These guys in Warfare, and this is a reason it's maybe my favorite, if you can have a favorite war film, that sounds terrible, but their reactions. And a lot of these guys were concussed after this attack, but it's this buildup. There's this great scene where a Steve Winwood song, Valerie, is playing, and they're watching an exercise video. And then the film just goes in a completely different direction. It's the one fun moment in the film. There's a long buildup, which is probably what it's like, and then how they cope with it. And they're so human. Despite all this Navy SEAL training and how talented these guys are at what they do, I loved how real it seemed.
Yeah, and it really is a fascinating thing where, like, most of the movie, I would say about half the movie is kind of an intense boredom.
Yeah.
Where it's just them in this house that they have, you know, commandeered for reasons we don't know why, and for reasons that, you know, end up being meaningless.
Right.
Just kind of waiting around, but there is this tension of like any minute now things could go sideways.
Right.
But it is just like them sitting around doing nothing, and then hell breaks loose. And it's interesting because hell doesn't break loose in this exciting, thrilling way. It is a war movie in which there isn't really a cool firefight.
Right.
Or there isn't like a scene of like, you know, a well-done action moment or anything. It is a movie where one, you know, kind of IED goes off and it destroys two people and the entire crew, the entire squadron. And it is done almost like a horror movie. It is not an action movie, really. If you were going into this wanting, you know, guns a-blazing action, like, right. you know, Men on a Mission, it isn't that. It is a movie about how war is terrible. And right. it is terrible for the people in it. It's terrible for the people who were involved in Iraq. I know a lot of people scoffed at, you know, another Iraq war apologia movie, you know, we went and now we make movies about how we feel bad about it. And it's just like, yeah, I think this movie does a really good job of being like, without being that handholdy thing of like, did you know the Iraq war was bad? Being like, we did all this dumb, you know, all amped up, all thinking we were hot S, and, you know, all we did was leave behind a broken place and yeah. broken people and achieve nothing other than, you know, wounding a lot of our own people in a lot of cases. It's a really well done. There's the famous idiom with film criticism of there's no such thing as an anti-war movie. War is inherently exciting and visceral and violent and exciting and loud. Mm. And I think Warfare does a pretty good job of being a genuine anti-war movie in terms yeah. of being like, this is terrible.
That's how I came away with it. I was like, you want to support the troops? Don't send them there unless you yeah. absolutely have to. Don't cheapen what these guys do and what they've mm-hmm. learned and how we are lucky to have them. It's just crazy. Matt, we've got yeah. a couple minutes left. We'll have to have you. Hopefully, maybe we can get you back on next week and finish part of this conversation. But do you, in like 2 minutes or less, what did you think of The Amateur?
You know, I don't think of The Amateur very much. It's a very, it is to quote the kids today, it's very mid,
yeah.
you know, and I feel bad because, you know, it's a original, I mean, it's based on a book, but it is a, you know, original movie for adults, you know, out in theaters. And I just was watching it being like, where's the interesting angle on this? You
right.
know, where's the kind of part to this that seems different? And for those who don't know, this is the Rami Malek action thriller about a guy who's a CIA guy, intelligence officer whose wife dies in a hostage situation. So he becomes, you know, an avenging angel.
avenging analyst. Badly,
because
yeah.
he's just a guy, which I think that would be interesting, but he ends up like, it doesn't do much in an interesting way. I found
not
that movie
right.
pretty... It is not the worst movie you'll see this year, but I cannot imagine people remembering that movie a week from now.
he's one of the producers, and I feel like he was missed. I didn't buy him in the role. He's got such a unique look. I was just kind of like, man, I am really not buying him. And then he would do something, and it's like they didn't set it up or how he did it. It's just like, oh, he made the door explode because he's smart. You know, it's just kind of weird.
It's a movie that can't quite figure out how capable he is supposed to be as...
Yeah.
You know,
right,
like, is this supposed to be a movie about a guy who's totally new and amateur at this and is bad at it? Or is he secretly, you know, the coolest guy ever who's secretly really good at this? They can't kind of hedge their bets. And they're like, well, he's got to be a little cool. He's got to do a few cool things. It's just
right.
It's a nothing burger of a movie.
Agreed. Matt, always fun, buddy. I get so much more I wanted to get to with you. Maybe we could set something up. I'll reach out to you, but thank you so much for your time tonight. Always fun. And let that cat out. Let the cat out. Come on.
I know. Well, I'll let the cat in now. The cat
or let the
in
cat
now.
In. Yeah. All right.
One shirt ruined later.
That's Matt Miller. Check him out at A Man About Film on Substack. Follow him on Blue Sky. Always fun to talk to Matt. Tomorrow night on the show, making the popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, how excited for you? You're a sports guy.
I am a sports guy.
Who's coming? Who's going to be here?
Well, Civic Media's own Mike Clemens.
You're damn right. Mike Clemens will be here making the popcorn pick of the week. It's going to be so much fun. And then Amanda Nimmer joins us in the second hour, and we'll talk to Amanda what's happened. We're going to give Amanda a Manitowoc quiz.
Yeah.
We'll see how she does about that. Mm-hmm. We'll have to put our heads together and come up with some cool stuff other than the big three things about Manitowoc. But we'll do that tomorrow. As always, so much fun. Thank you to Mike Starr, Matt Miller, and all your texts and being part of Nightlight. It is always so much fun, folks, to talk to you every night from 6 to 8. I'm Pete Schwabe. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.